Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Head up!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Head up!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Head up!
The
Rand
McCoy!
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions. And now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy!
Welcome to The Real McCoy Show today. We are so excited that you have joined us. If you are watching us or listening in for the first time, we want to encourage you to visit our website at www.womanactnow.com. Learn more about our organization and how we can help coach you through the execution gap to achieve your dreams, visions, and ideas. Well, family or well, folks, we got some awesome guests in store for you on today. All month we've been talking about leadership, and today we're going to be talking with Dr. Brenda Atchison. I hope I'm saying her name right because she's on the line. But, Dr. Brenda, if I didn't get your last name right, you can get me then. But we had a great conversation earlier today prior to the call, so I'm looking forward to hearing everything that she's going to share with you. And then we have one of our own that's going to be speaking to us again today as well, and that will be Mr. Pierre Dickerson. He is the brother of our founder and master coach, Anna McCoy, so you know he's got a lot of helpful tips that he's going to share with us as well on leadership, as well as our own master coach who brings her own unique words of wisdom to you as it relates to leadership and the years of experience and everything. So I'm so excited that I actually get to talk to you first and invite them to the show. So I want to invite our master coach to the show on today who will continue the show in its format. So welcome, Coach Anna. How are you doing today?
I am excellent, Shauna. Welcome, Pierre. Pierre Dickerson to the show.
Welcome, family.
And I'm just excited to have you with us. I'm sure he's got some things to share. This man has been certainly in the presence of some great leaders and have had to work with them, so I'm interested to hear what he has to say. Before we get started, I want to talk about just a few things of what we've covered this month in the area of leadership. We've been talking about your leadership influence. We've talked about different factors of leadership. We've talked about how to lead from where you are, doing leadership acts. I'm excited about our guest today because Dr. Brenda Atchison certainly is a woman very similar to myself who has a passion and a heart to empower other women and individuals on achieving their goals in life. You know, she's the founder of Platinum Career Coaching Group, and I certainly hope that her coaching and her business has certainly increased in these last few years because there's been a lot of transitioning going on, career transitioning. You know, the question is, what do we do? Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe we'll have an opportunity in our discussions with her today to think about some ways that you can also reposition, you can emerge as a leader. What can you do to stand out with where you are, along with some of the leadership principles that she's going to be sharing with us? She's an instructor also in business management and entrepreneurship at the McLennan Community College. She is actively involved in civic and social pursuits and is a passionate visionary leader and coach. So I'm excited about her. She has many years, over 27 years of experience in education and counseling, and she's really collaborated and coordinated a number of different individuals in a diverse pool of highly skilled and specialized individuals with similar goals who have created the company that she currently has, which is Platinum Career Coaching. The Platinum Career Coaching Group. So what's exciting about her, too, is she also has a doctorate in organizational management from the University of Phoenix and a Master of Education from one of our historically black colleges. So, woohoo! So she, you know, I went to a historically black college too, Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's always nice to meet others who continue to support our historically black community. So I'm having a little bit of a challenge, so I'm going to turn this over, Shauna, if you just come back. I'm going to turn this over to Shauna so that I can get my voice correct, and you can invite Ms. Brenda to the show. So we're excited that Ms. Brenda is going to join us on today. So, Ms. Brenda, you just give me, I'm going to open up your line so we can chat with you and talk to you a little bit about leadership. But before I do that, I just want to share with you guys, give me just a second. I'm going to invite Ms. Brenda to the show. Dr. Brenda, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully well. I hope you're able to hear me. For some reason, I couldn't dial out on my landline for whatever reason, so I'm going to be using my cell phone.
Okay, you know what? If you just speak directly into the microphone,
a little louder,
and just project for so our listeners can hear you, because I know you got some awesome things to share today, and we want to make sure that they hear it loud and clear.
Absolutely.
So we want to welcome you to the show on today, Dr. Brenda. And you know what? We're just going to dive right into it. I know you and I were talking about being authentic in leadership, and we talked about that a little bit here at Woman Act Now. And so we're excited to hear your perspective about it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about understanding the practices of good leadership?
Okay. I'm going to talk from a perspective of servant leadership, because that's one of the areas that I'm extremely interested in. And the other thing, as an instructor of entrepreneurship, I found that one of the things that a lot of the entrepreneurs would be the piece that's missing is that on leadership. So we approach a leadership from a utility kind of standpoint that would help us to get something that was practical that they could put to work immediately.
Yeah.
And I always ask, how do you lead with the tenacity of an Oprah Winfrey or the strength of President Barack Obama or the humility of a Mother Teresa? And my answer to that is you lead on purpose.
Yeah.
Leading on purpose requires you to be passionate, to be authentic, to be intentional, accountable, and philanthropic. And there's always this great argument as to whether people are born leaders or do they develop leadership skills. I think it's kind of irrelevant, and I think it's a moot point. Most of us are intuitively and inherently leaders. It's just a matter of doing your due diligence and learning the skills and developing the skills that are necessary to lead.
Now, Dr. Brenda, I don't want to stop you in your tracks, but that was so good. Share those points with us one more time.
Okay, I'm going to go over them just briefly so you'll have a point of reference for what I'm talking about when I talk about each of these points under leading on purpose. When I speak of passion, I'm talking about a compelling, almost overwhelming feeling of enthusiasm to do something. It's an excitement. It's almost like a love affair. And most of us have experienced at one time or another what it's like to have be involved in a love affair. It's very difficult to excite someone else about something that you're not excited about. The second point was authenticity. And when I speak of authenticity, I mean, are you showing up every day? You may not be in the position that you want to be. You may not have the job that you want. But are you showing up? Is the voice that you hear that reverberates in your ear, is that your own voice? Is that who you truly are? Accountability refers to owning your success as well as your failures, owning your strengths, owning your weaknesses. Someone once said it's like showing up like a grown-up. Now, when we talk about intentionality, we talk about being present every day, being present for every moment, being present in every way. and making sure that you're not trading the journey for the destination. And finally, when we talk about being philanthropic or being a philanthropist, we're talking about something President Kennedy said many years ago. He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And if there were ever a time in this country that we've needed people to step up and do for the country and assume their social responsibility, is now. So having said that, I hope those points are a little bit better understood as we move into this discussion.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was quite awesome. You know what? And I'd like for you, if you don't mind, you talked about being intentional and having in your passion, being overwhelming and overwhelming excitement to do something. It's almost like a love affair. That sounds so awesome. Because here at WOMANAC now, we talk to the ladies about achieving their dreams, visions, and ideas, and about having the passion to be able to do that. Can you share with us a little bit more or expound a little bit more with that?
Absolutely. One of the things that you hear people talk about passion, and some of the things you hear them say is that, well, you know, I'm really not passionate about the job I have right now. Passion is much deeper than that. You don't have to be passionate as much about the job you do as about how well you do the job. And developing a general passion, I call it my attitude of gratitude, that to find something to be thankful for in your job, find a reason to do it well. Work in itself is not always exciting. Work was never meant to be boring, but we live in a country where work has become routine and in a lot of cases mundane. But there's something about everything that we do that we can take delight in. It's a matter of doing that wherever you are. I heard you mention at the beginning of the show something about leading from where you are. And that's always the case. If we always wait on perfect circumstances to do things, we'll never get things done. If we're waiting on the perfect job or the perfect situation or the perfect boss or the perfect employees, then we'll never take the next step into being what we can become. Jim Collins said in his book, Good to Great, that the thing that separates level five or the top leaders from the other leaders is their ability to have a core ideology that couples personal humility with professional will. They learn to check their egos at the door, no matter what it is that they're doing, and they do the best that they can do on the job that they're in.
That's awesome. You know, and I like that you said, check your egos at the door. We've been talking about leadership all month, and as we've been talking about it, you mentioned leading from where you are. And that's certainly a great point when you think about checking your ego from where you are, because when you lead from where you are, that doesn't mean that you have to be the one in front. That means that you take on those leadership qualities from wherever you are in business, wherever you are as it relates to your family, just living your best life, wherever that place is, so that you can lead in excellence and lead with quality and integrity.
That's
so true. That's awesome. So thank you for that.
And you know, a lot of times, we, instead of checking our egos at the door, we do something almost equally as damaging to our careers, and that is that we check our emotions at the door. We stifle our creativity. We stifle our innovation, and the things that we really should take in the door, we leave at the door, rather than bring our egos into the companies. And sometimes it's a barrier us becoming who we really are.
That's good. That's great. And you know what? Now I want to go back just for a moment and talk about something you said earlier when you were sharing your points with us, because we've spoken about that within WOMANAC now as well, and it's something that we do quite often, and that's when you talked about accountability. And you said owning your strengths and weaknesses, and that's good within a leader, because what it will do is it'll make you aware of your strong points, and it'll also make you aware of your weak points, but you'll hold yourself accountable to it and know that you can't do everything. But as you delegate to the proper individuals so that they can properly or effectively do what you can't do.
So can you share with us a little bit more about that?
You know, collaboration is really big for me because the truth is nobody is good at everything, but everybody is good at something. And the key is to align yourself with those strategic partnerships. They're almost like good marriages. Finding those people that complement you, who can do the things that you can do. They're not to be icing on the cake, but basically they fill the points that you don't have. Some of the components of servant leadership that makes it such a good starting point for talking about leadership is that it requires you to listen, to be empathetic, to be aware, to be persuasive, to conceptualize, to have foresight, stewardship. All of those things we've always had in our communities, a commitment to grow people and a commitment to grow our communities. And the way that we do that is that we have to own the good with the bad. It would be really nice if life was a buffet and you could just kind of pick the things you like and leave the things that you don't like on the table. But leadership, to really lead with any degree of accountability, you have to take it all. You have to take the good with the bad and figure out how to make those bad things become assets for you.
That's good. That's good. Now, what would your advice be when you talk about to figure out how to make those bad things, make them good for you? What would your advice be for that?
One of the things that I do with my clients is that part of my due diligence is to listen first and then to use as many assessments as I can use to help me get to the heart of who that person really is, because sometimes we have clients who have ideas, but they're not sure who they are and what their role is in the business. So we try to make sure that we give people an opportunity to do some self-exploration and some looking inward before looking outward and finding those things that that they can work on.
That's awesome. Looking inward before looking outward. So I want to thank you for that. That is so awesome. You know what? And I want to, you know what, if you can, talk to us a little bit. You and I were talking before the call, and we were talking about understanding the practices of good leadership, and you've certainly given us some great points. But I want to, if you can just expound just for a moment on that.
The thing that I think the key to being a good leader is to understand that all leaders are not alike. They have some similar characteristics, but you don't have to have the same exact characteristics as another leader in order to be a great leader. I think great leader requires above all else for you to be to have humility and to lead with humility. And when you do that, you become more aware of what other people need, and that's really what leading is all about. Is leaders have something to say. Other people look for a platform to say something, and they're really not leaders. They're just looking for a place to talk leadership. But if you really want to do leadership, leadership is active involvement in seeing what needs to be done and taking a role in getting it done, even if your name is never called, even if nobody has to know that you were the catalyst behind getting something done. It's being able to step out there and get people. You know, someone said a leader without any followers is just somebody out on a hike. So if you want to be a true leader, you have to be able to galvanize people and get people to work with you, and you get work done through those people. And at the same time, you inspire other people. And I think one of those is ways that you inspire people is to really empower people to take on more leadership roles. I just finished a leadership training a few weeks ago that's called Leadership Planning. And one of the things that they did in there is they helped us to look for leaders who are not normally thrust into the limelight because they are already doing something leaderly-like in the community. And we found from that that people who are passionate about things are the best people. You know, you don't look for something you can do in the community. Look for something people are already doing and help them get behind what they're already passionate about. And you'll have an easy time with the leadership.
Oh, that's good. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Brenda. You shared some awesome things with us on today. I want to invite our master coach, Anna McCoy, back to the call on today or to the broadcast. So welcome again, Coach Anna.
Thank you very much, and thank you, people. Had a little bit of a challenge every time. You know, I'm using this voice all the time, and it's just always a challenge. Nothing a little codeine and cough syrup couldn't handle. So I am back. So, Dr. Brenda, I want to thank you so much for sharing all of those principles with us. And I see you have a conference coming up, or at least you're promoting a conference on your website for the Entrepreneurship
yes.
Conference and Exposition. Is this something that you're going to be a part of?
Usually it's traditionally been a conference that I do every year. But this year we've gotten some new partners in it. The Heart of Texas Workforce is doing an entrepreneurship workshop, as well as the local Chamber of Commerce, who has in the past been one of our biggest sponsors, are taking a larger role in it, because I really believe that entrepreneurship is going to be the way that we dig this country out of the hole we're in now. People are going to have to take personal responsibility for leading in this economy.
Well, you know, Dr. Atchison, you'll be really, really, I think the statement I'm about to say when it comes to entrepreneurship, you may be surprised, but maybe not. Recently had an opportunity to go to Jamaica and to share with a group of 150 kids. I was one of thousands of individuals who went over to Jamaica on a cruise with a cause. We went to I believe 160 schools, took about 3,000 people over on a boat. And in my experience, we had an opportunity just to share, you know, kind of share the gospel, share a testimony, or just share some knowledge with the children. In this particular school, the children were 5 years old to about 14 years old. It was an all-age school. And so what you just said, entrepreneurship is the answer. So the question I asked these young people, I said, how many of you have heard of the word entrepreneur? And they all looked at me as if I was speaking a different language. And I said, I guess I am. So we're going to learn how to spell this word entrepreneur. I said, how many of you might be familiar with war or some of the things that happen in Egypt and some of these current events where people are crying out, you know, I need a job, I need to take care of my family? And, you know, the only answer to that is entrepreneurship. And so in that conversation, we're talking, but I was so overwhelmed that these children did not know what the word meant. And they're in a third world country. I can understand that, but you would assume that somebody would be teaching them, that the one who is going to solve this problem, and their problem was they had no running water in their community. And I asked them, how will you solve the problem? And whoever comes up with the answer, that person is the entrepreneur. So I want to talk a little bit about that before we let you go.
Okay.
Is your take, and I'm certainly in agreement with you, that entrepreneurship is the answer to the world's problem, because so many people are saying, I need a job. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, you need a dream so that you can help create a job. So many other people won't, so why not you? So tell us what you would share with individuals to erupt that dream or get them to take execution on that dream.
What you're saying is dead on, and that was an awesome opportunity for you to go over there and talk it up. But, you know, there was a time in the not-so-distant past that entrepreneurship was not a foreign term in our communities. Here in the United States, we're having people who are living on welfare as a lifestyle. But there was a time when people in the community knew how to do hair, they knew how to shine shoes, they knew how to carve wood, they knew how to sell watermelons, plant gardens. This urban gardening idea is not a new thing. It's just that we need to get people back to the idea of waiting for these large companies to hire you back. It's probably not going to happen because
right.
they found out that they can do a whole lot more with a whole lot less. And now they're not looking to hire those people back. And rather than people waiting on that to happen, the thing that needs to happen is for people to start seeing what skills they have, doing a skills assessment. Someone mentioned positioning yourself that even if it's something as simple as planting a garden and selling peaches or plums out of your garden, even if it's something like doing hair. We have girls here that without a license can make $200 and $300 a week braiding hair. Teach them how to put that into the format of a business and show them how to do their financials. Show them how to register those businesses. And I think that if we do that, it brings back that level of creativity that we've gotten away from, that level of innovation. We have to be able to do more than make money. We have to be able to make some products and services.
Wow.
And I'm just 100% behind entrepreneurship. We started
a
program
you
recently.
You certainly are not alone.
Yeah.
That's what we do at Woman Act Now, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity to make your acquaintance through Leslie Denman, who located you, and I'm not sure if you are in a relationship with each other. But as she did
yes.
her research, she felt like you were a woman with something to say. And we would have to agree
well,
with her.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we want to just give you another opportunity. If there's anything that you might want to share with our audience, we'd like you to have that opportunity. If there's a way, can they follow you on Facebook or Twitter to continue to engage in, you know, the knowledge base that you have?
Okay, the best place to contact me is through my webpage. I do have a Twitter account, but I have not been actively giving my Twitter followers much to follow lately. I teach entrepreneurship full time in the summer. That keeps me pretty busy.
Okay.
But if they were to log on, if there are any questions or any comments, or if I can be of service, just answering questions about entrepreneurship and how to get started, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Sure. And you know what? We'd love to have you back. Do you have any books or resources?
Back.
I know on your website, is it Platinum?
Platinum Career Coaching? Yes. And we started out doing more things in the area of getting individuals prepared, and we're moving a little bit more toward entrepreneurship, although we're still doing things with individuals. But because we see such a great need, and it fits right in with our mission and our values and our vision to incorporate that into entrepreneurship
Yes, I have one final question for you, something I was thinking about that's a great segue into our next segment on the show today. And the whole idea of businesses don't fail, but leaders do. What's
Absolutely.
Your take on, when we look at several different situations where companies have fallen, major companies, and certainly in this recession, we could name many of our financial companies, but when you think of the Enrons of the world, what's your take on businesses don't fail, leaders do?
Absolutely. John Maxwell says nothing ever rises above the level of its leader. And we've gotten so complacent with leadership. If people can come in and make a bunch of money in a short period of time, they're considered a leader. And every day on TV, you see someone that is touted as a leader for doing something that was not leaderly at all, that they've become famous for doing things that are really not things that should make you famous. So we've kind of gotten lax in the area of leadership, that people are not stepping up to lead. They're stepping up to run companies. But in order to lead, you do have to do due diligence. That's why you see the Enrons of the world falling. That's why you see the big four automakers. They're making money, but they're not building a business. And I think in order to build a business, you have to have a great leader.
Wow, that's beautiful. And that goes right into our churches with some of
Absolutely.
The our next guest, Pierre Dickerson. He has had the opportunity to work with a number of major ministries and, you know, have been close with leadership, have seen many different things. And so our next segment, we're going to talk about that from the perspective of, you know, why do leaders fail or why are they ineffective? And I think it's a helpful thing to talk about from the perspective of as we teach people how to lead, we also teach them what not to do. And so you're welcome
Absolutely.
To continue to listen in, and you can chime in if you like. If you have to go, we do understand that, and we just want to thank you for participating today and sharing your words of wisdom with us. And please know, are you in Waco? My assumption you're in Waco, right?
I'm in Waco, Texas, absolutely.
Well, we want you to know, Ms. Brenda, if you come to Dallas, Texas,
yes.
to Fort Worth, Texas, you just look up Ms. McCoy.
I surely will.
I'm
and it was a pleasure.
A
Thank
Don't
you.
Be saying
it was
that,
a pleasure and a delight.
I am
I'm serious.
As a hawk to attack.
I'm very interested in the trip that you all made, and maybe if they're planning on doing something like that again, because I would like to get into more things into free trade. Because I think
oh, wow.
Helps
well,
us
we're,
also
actually,
helps.
We're headed to Nigeria. Shana and I, we're going there next month. And my request was to dialogue with business leaders there. I'm an ordained minister, and they were asking, well, you know, Coach, we want you to preach. I was like, I'd be happy to speak to a few people, but I'm really looking for those that are interested in making a change in their community, and I'd like to talk to them about, you know, what do they see. I know what my gifts and talents are from that area of sparking a dream, inspiring a person, being a problem solver. I don't have all the answers, but I have a skill set of solving problems. I don't know what you
Absolutely.
Need, but if we can sit there and think about it, you can bet that by the time we finish this story, it's going to be different. And so that's what I think that we'll be able to bring to this community of men and women that we're going to have this opportunity with in Lagos, Nigeria next month. So we're looking forward to meeting them. And we have WAN power centers around the world mm-hmm. to just help individuals, help women specifically, to achieve their dreams and visions. And our power centers start with three people and mm-hmm. who hold each other accountable to achieving that dream. And we've just seen so many things, incredible things, occur here at Woman Act Now in a very kind of, I would have to say, we are demonstrating leadership, we're demonstrating that encouragement and support for individuals. You know, we're not the largest organization, but I'm pretty sure we're probably one of the most effective when you see the results in the lives of the women who come across Woman Act Now from coast to coast all over the world. So you have blessed us today, and we want to invite you back sometime, and if you have anything going on, please let us know. We're free to share it. We are a connect working environment. There is plenty of space for you and me in the marketplace. And so that's
Absolutely.
Our experience.
Absolutely.
Of we have a given
and,
mentality here at Woman Act Now. And so whatever we can do to help you further your dream, Dr. Brenda, we want you to know that you have not only just been our guest today, but we've invited you into our family. And we want you to know that we're here to support you. And if there's anything you need, you let us know.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And I look forward to us collaborating in the future. I know it's going to happen, and I hope it happens sooner rather than later.
We shall do it. So I'm serious.
Be
blessed. You're making your way to Dallas, Texas, or Fort Worth area. Please don't hesitate to contact us. Let us know. We will make time. That's how we roll, Dr. Brenda.
Well, many blessings upon your trip, your upcoming trip. I hope it's as productive and everything that God would have it to be.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a tremendous day. So we'll be right back, and we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back. to the program after this message that Shauna can't find. I have it.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy. Today's topic, manage opportunity.
Have you ever been given a project and you had that thought, why are they giving this to me? You should see that new assignment as an opportunity to shine. An opportunity is defined as a favorable combination of circumstances, time, and place. And when we manage every opportunity, regardless of its significance, it will provide a chance or an opening for something greater to occur in your life. So manage your opportunities well. The rewards will be worth it.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy.
Brought to you by the world's largest DoubleTree Resort, Spa, and Hotel on International Drive in Orlando. Plan a conference or bring your family to relax and enjoy a place where you are celebrated and accommodated. African American owned, DoubleTree Resort and Spa, International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Visit DoubleTreeOrlandoIDrive.com. Call 407-352-1100.
Well, welcome back to the show. We just want to, again, thank Dr. Brenda Atkinson for joining us and everything that she shared as it relates to those leadership principles. You want to be certain to go back, review this program again, share it with your friends so that you can become the leader that we know you are. Here at Woman Act Now, we coach women into achieving their dreams, visions, and ideas. And if you're a woman or if you're a man and you need some coaching too, we want to invite you to visit our website at www.womanatnow.com, because dreams and visions have no preference agenda, but they do have you in mind. And if you want to achieve yours, we want you to contact us today. Give me a call, 877-751-5700. I'd like to talk to you more. My extension is 407, and give you a free promo code for a 30-day free trial to this organization so you can get moving and be that great leader. So I want to invite our master coach back to the call on today, and she'll invite our guest, Dr. Pierre Dickinson. I just gave him a doctor title, y'all.
What'd you call him?
Dr. Pierre Dickinson. But we're going to invite our master coach back to the call on today. So welcome again, Coach Anna. Well, you know, he's got plenty to be a doctor about. I tell you, his mama sure raised a smart man. I tell you, I was appreciative that he left over a few genes for me. You know what I mean? Between him and my sister, I finally, you know, the Lord saw fit that we're going to leave a little bit of smart gene left for that last child that was going to come. You know what I'm saying? So I am so very grateful to have him with us today, because, first of all, he is my brother. He is my older brother. And not to mention, he is really one incredible guy. He's truly gifted. And we call him in our family the peacemaker. You will never be in his atmosphere, or his environment, and not feel a spirit of peace, you know. And he has that type of spirit of wisdom about him, and it's something that certainly draws leaders into his space and where he is invited. The gift of, I think, wisdom, the gift of just his balance and his personality really is a gift for him that makes room for him in the presence of leaders. So I value whatever we're going to share today on this program, and I know it's going to be some tips, and maybe there are some leaders who are listening. And I really sense that certainly in our faith-based community, we are in a war with ethics and values, and really being able to demonstrate them in leadership. You know, we're using words like "I'm not perfect," "I'm a fallible person," "I'm a man or a woman just like anyone else." And I think that, you know, the idea is people want to make space and make room for error or for sin. What we call sin, or I'm going to actually remove that word sin. I'm going to call it a behavior, try to make certain behaviors acceptable as a leader without consequence. And I think that and I'm not talking about sexual sin or sexual behavior outside of a marital relationship. I'm speaking to some other intangible things that people display and demonstrate as leaders. And there's an opinion that most leaders, and that's both in business as well as in the faith-based community, so I don't want to feel like I want our audience to feel like I'm making an attack on that today, because I work in both of those worlds, in both the secular and the sacred world, and I work with the corporate business leaders. I work with the faith-based leaders. I see some very similar character. In character, when we use that word character, it's not the assumption is character is good, but there's bad character and good character, or not so good, not so bad, you know, bad character. So when I think about this issue of leadership, I want to just talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to describe it as something called defensiveness. Okay, it might be a little bit different for you to understand, but when I think about some of the challenges that we face as leaders in this world or in these worlds that we live in, I'm going to start with this word defensiveness. Most of us are defensive about who we are. And the word defensiveness has more to do with an avoidance of pain than anything else. So now you're going to start to you'll start to see the direction that I'm moving in. So when I say defensiveness, avoiding pain, so that becomes the first guard I think that many leaders are experiencing today, is there's this defensiveness, or there are these barriers, there are these walls, there are these layers and layers, whether it's people, whether it's attitudes, whether it's arrogance, but there are walls of defensiveness, which means, in my perception, is to avoid pain and suffering. So I'm going to defend my territory. I'm going to defend who I am. And I create this fortress around me so that I cannot be hurt. I cannot, I'm not going to reach out, because I think I'm going to hit on, as I'm setting this up, Pierre, to allow you to speak to that. And I'm just trying to create a framework of what my experience is, because I've heard things. I just recently had a conversation with someone, and the conversation went something like this. You know, it was regarding a known leader and how there are no people around that leader who have what we call backbone. But as I thought about it, I said, wait a minute, well, maybe it has more to do with that leader's fortress of defensiveness, because we build and build and build ourselves, whether it was in the corporate environment, we have created perceptions for people. They want, you know, this is kind of who I want people to know me as, and we've created our brands, and in order to protect that and to avoid the pain and suffering, then my reaction is going to be a defensive, not just in a moment, but it's how I begin to filter the things in my world, the relationships, and that's also how the people on the outside actually begin to filter you. Is he's defensive? No matter what you tell him, he's not open, he's not teachable. So those are the kinds of words that in my mind I see those words when you say them. Well, he won't listen, or she won't listen to anyone. She's not open. They're just hitting and falling. The words, if you could see. Open, you see O-P-E-N, and it hits that person who is defensive, and it just falls to the ground when you're trying to help people. So I want to talk to you and invite you to the show to share with us a little bit about what you think is going on with leaders, with just the spirit, not leaders, let's call it the spirit of leadership today.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to kind of go off the script here a little bit, because you brought up some very good things.
Right.
Defensive barriers, that's very good. You know, in my working with leaders in the secular and in the sacred realm, is that defensiveness is usually what I find to be a lack of preparation, knowledge, or skill set for that leader. So if you come to them in an area that they don't have a parameter of, it's an instant barrier of defense, because they're not going to let you know that I don't know.
Yeah.
So that becomes an instant area that they defend. So then very few leaders want to put a person in position that knows more than them. So they'll put someone to teach them, but they're going to keep them below the level of knowledge base where they are. So there's no growth.
Yeah, what's interesting is you know, if you want a really successful company, the key is to hire people who are smarter than you and really learn how to navigate their execution and their success in what you do. You know, this word defensiveness, when you say that, a part of that has to do with intimacy, with relationship. So when a person throws up those barriers of defensiveness, they're really keeping distance. See, whether it's distance from seeing the books, whether it's distance from really understanding my passion, whether it's distance about my commitment here, whatever the case may be, I don't want you, you know, I want you to fall in the moat first.
Right. Exactly.
You know, that separates us and holler to me from the other side.
Exactly.
I can hear you. I can still delegate a little bit. But I've created that moat of defensiveness so that people cannot get close enough to see the truth. Like Dr. Brenda's she's talking about, you know, authenticity.
Exactly.
Show up. Be that man that you say you are every day. Someone asked me while I was in a meeting yesterday, and I looked at the person and I said, I think you must be confused. I said, I do believe you think there's another woman going to show up. She keeps showing up. The exact same woman from the day you met me keeps showing up. I'm not going to change. What you see is what you get. But most leaders, when you think about, are not most leaders. I don't want to say all of us because we're all leaders. But what would be best is not to be this type of leader, one who is defensive, because see, defensiveness has to do with justification. That whatever, like you just said, I come to you with something, I don't know it, so let me justify it. You know, I'm gonna be defensive because I want to justify my ignorance or my embarrassment or whatever the case may be, so this wall of defensiveness comes up.
Yes, that's great. When you speak on intimacy, that's one key thing that I don't want you to see into me.
Yes.
I don't want you to see past the strength barrier that I have. Because as leaders, we want to project one picture.
Yes.
That I am just this pillar of strength. I don't want you to see behind me that, you know, I've got some things knocked off of me, some chips on my pillar. And that's one of the problems that I think one of the great things about great leaders is that they all hire their weaknesses.
Right.
They put people in position to sure up the area that is weak. That's what makes them greater leaders.
Yeah. So what happens, what do you think happens to people when what happens, you know, and you see this over and over again, and I'm dealing with some areas where you see with the different companies we have, you see people start at a certain place, employees start at a certain place, they expect certain things to be the way they were. And then somewhere along the line, the leader becomes something else. It's not what we used to have. It's not. So what happens to that place of accountability? What do you believe, based on your experience with some of the leaders that you have seen, what was some of their areas of weakness when it comes to not being teachable, not being... Why do we feel like the leader is the person that is supposed to know everything?
That's one of the major problems. Because we automatically we go into any place. If we have a problem, who's your boss? I want to go. The leader is going to know more than the person that I'm talking to.
Right.
You're on the phone with someone. Who's your manager? Let me speak to them. They're going to know more than the person that you're dealing with.
Right.
And that's generally not the case.
Right.
Because the manager is managing everything.
Right.
A leader, you know, we were preparing for this, and I was thinking about a cruise ship, and I know a lot of you guys have been on a cruise ship, but the people that keep the ship running are the people that are...
You don't even see them.
The people that are down maintaining the motors, keeping it running, keeping you getting to your destination, but the leader is the captain that directs the path of that ship from point point A to point B. And everybody thinks, oh, the captain is this. Okay, get rid of the engineers and the guys that's keeping the ship running. The boat would just sit there. And that's what I'm saying. We do not give enough attention to those people, and a lot of our leaders don't give enough attention to those people in our organizations to say, wow, I see something great in this person. Let me extract this and pull this out. Rather, we say, no, you're just a secretary. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But a lot of the times, the things that disturb you when you walk into an environment are clues to the things that you're called to solve.
Yes.
Those are the things that you're pointed to. A lot of times, the entrepreneur spirit comes out of something that bothers you.
Yes.
Something that disturbs you in the environment. I got to do something about this.
Yes.
But
that's
we
good.
Are so caught up on keeping people from expounding on that. Oh, don't worry about that. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
No, that's something you should tackle.
Well, what I think I heard, you also brought up some other things of when I think about leadership with this top-down mentality, and that's why we talk about lead from where you are, is that Dr. Brenda talked about, you know, people are running companies, but they're not leading companies.
Exactly.
People are running ministries, but they're not leading ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about servant leadership, and Pam Ross has shared with us about serving, loving, and leading, and how to be a servant. It was interesting. I went to a restaurant yesterday, and I saw a statement on their menu say, our people are here to help. They're not here to serve. Something in me, I didn't really understand. And so when I read the statement, I began to just kind of sit there and think about how are they fulfilling this statement. You know what I mean? We're not here to serve. We're here to help. Because their whole idea is the way they took serve and reduced the value of service, it created a situation where I walked into that restaurant and I told them, this is my first time here. I've never been here before, but I thought I'd check it out. So the young man says, well, I can take your order. We have self-serve, drinks, and you can go. And I said, okay, that's great. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, can I have a fork or knife or something? Oh, that's in the self-serve area. As if to tell me, I did not feel as though he was helping me understand the system.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though he was telling me that I'm not your servant in the self-service areas over here. So I was a little bit taken aback, but when we think about that and how does that relate to what we're talking about, is service, servant leader, because he could have equally shared with me, oh, I forgot, because in my mind I really thought I had established that I've not been here before, I don't know your systems, and
right.
It may have been better if you would have said, oh, that's great, what we have is a self-service environment here, I'll bring you your plate with all of your, condiments, accessories, things that you need are over here, but it was the way he said it to me, and I was thinking, I don't know if I'll be going back there, So in that self-service environment, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go back there. So I think when we have that same self-serve mentality, I think in leadership, it certainly does create those same kind of feelings. So I wish we had some people on our line who talked to us today. I think we might have Viola and a couple of our listeners who are our favorite listeners on the line today to talk about this area of leadership. But go ahead and take us any direction that you'd like to take us.
One of the strangest things that I've discovered in working with a lot of leaders, high-level and mid-level, is that a lot of them, one of the things that I find most interesting is the majority of them are leaders entitled. Not in knowledge, not in their expertise level. It's only
they
as
started
a title.
It.
But leadership is an action.
Yes.
It is not a title.
So they haven't moved through the five levels of leadership
exactly.
Where we talk about, you're appointed as a leader, so people follow you. Then you have relational leadership. People follow you because of what you kind of do
right.
for them. Then you have what's called that leadership level where you know what, people follow you because you've done something for the organization.
Exactly.
And then you have the personal development type leadership, and that's where you, what have you done for me lately that you impacted my life so much. And then you have that place of leadership where people follow because they respect you and what you have done, not only for them but for the organization. And so I think you're right in the sense that I think for leaders, and to speak to, I think, the side of leadership, that many leaders are catapulted into a realm that they had no idea this was going to come. You know, they don't know what to do. I've noticed this even in a as small of a organization as we have, that as a leader you have to maintain the integrity of your spirit within the people you work with, because ultimately I think that Shauna, her, she is contending for my highest possible good, but her perception about the perception of what someone else may want or need is very different, may be very different than the way I might respond. Now, if she go ahead and takes an action or communicates to a person in a certain way and I don't say anything, then she has the license to continue to behave or to handle people in a certain way, versus on a number of occasions, I say, well, no, that's not necessary for me. And so the next time she says, oh, no, that's not necessary for her. Do you see what I'm saying? But had I allowed certain and it's a standard, and it's a standard I'm probably deserving of in the perception of what she believes a leader should have. But for me, because my passion is people, I want to be able to touch people. I'm in the people business. So I don't want to be placed in a moat, you know, with that moat around me that, that she needs this, she needs that. So when I go out to speak to people, you know, they're overwhelmed, and she'll tell them, oh, no, you won't have, she's very low maintenance, ma'am. You don't have, why? Because now she knows that it's okay with me to put me in an environment where I'm going to be embraced by the people, that I'll have time with the people. You know, she knows I'm running to that rather than running from that. But early on, you know, just trying to protect and doing the right things. But I think as a leader, if you don't help your team establish what's acceptable, then people, unbeknownst, and I'm not saying it's your responsibility, and but it is to some extent, if you allow them to create the moat of defensiveness around you. And I can think of many leaders who have, who live in that space. You know, they live in this fortress, and they're fine with it. And that's okay. People have different personalities. But at the same time, this is when it becomes a problem. When you see it in your people, and they begin to handle other people the same way, which is now not acceptable, but you're so disconnected that you don't know it's coming from you. They think they're doing you the favor.
You know, I was sitting here while you were talking, I was thinking about us growing up as kids and how our leadership was innately developed through our grandparents and our mother and our father by seeing their work ethic and things that they did. But one thing that I clearly remember, and you do it now and I do it now, that leaders are willing to do what they ask you to do.
Yes.
The sign of a leader that that is not successful is a leader that's unwilling to do what he asks you to do. And how many of us run into those situations that, you know, I'm the leader, go do this. Can you show me how? No, that's the leader. I don't do that. It's because I don't know how to do that, but rather than say I don't know how, no, that's your job. That's what I hired you to do. And that's a sign of failure of leadership is unwilling to do what I ask you to do.
You know, when we think about leaders, and we're about to close, though, I want to invite one of our favorite callers to the line. Before I do, I want to just share these two or three principles when we talked about leadership and, you know, the spirit of leadership and what we want to avoid. Certainly defensiveness, arrogance. We want to be people that are more sensitive to the needs of others, where we increase our emotional intelligence, our emotional IQ, where you can't solve everybody's personal problem. However, as a leader, you can be more in tune to what those needs are.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I think failing to build a proper team certainly impacts, and to Pierre's point, this lack of composure, lack of exposure,
mm-hmm.
lack of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
all of these things, and ultimately the lack of ethics and values certainly impacts us as leaders. So I want to invite 214-649 to the show. Are you there?
Yes. Hey, Coach, how are you guys doing? Hey, Brother Pierre, good seeing
hey.
You. Coach, while you were talking that last part before you brought Pierre back on, it made me really think about the teaching that we had this morning, and the humility state is what I see in you, and that's how Shauna picks up things, and she's teaching us as we serve others, even when we go out to those that you share with the Connect Work. So that state of humility in the leadership is what's very important, and what I've learned hanging out with you for the last couple of years, which empowers people to be able to follow and see. And something that you taught this morning in our teaching, which is just sticks with me, is that spy technique of leadership. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful teaching that you gave us this morning in our prayer, so that leaders do follow, and they're following the Spirit of God. So that level of humility is what really stands out and keeps me wanting to be able to be in the presence and the honor and time of Woman Act Now. So I thank you, and I've even seen that in your brother, just even when he honors you to do the work of taping. So that state of humility is very, very important for a leader.
Well, I thank you for that, Ross, because you know what it does is set the tone. Most people, and I find this really interesting, most people are going to react to the way a leader acts. And so for me, if I go far or the east, or I'm just as jovial or approachable, all of those things, people tend to follow. Even if a person is used to being a certain way, when they see that the spirit of this leader is not going that way, they tend to decrease and really come out and be their authentic self. So thank you so much for joining us, Ross. Our time has come to a close, and we want to thank our special guest today, Dr. Brenda Atchison, Pierre Dickerson, and, of course, Shauna Stallworth and myself on the power to lead. And so we want to encourage you to visit our website at womanactnow.com. Consider becoming a member. You can download this program anytime, send a link, share it on your Facebook or your Twitter, and you can also follow us on both of those areas to find out what's coming up next. Any other announcements, Shauna?
Go to that website and know, too, that you can become the leader that you have been chosen to be. We know you have it in you. It's okay not to know everything. No one is supposed to. We're always ever learning. So be encouraged. Reach out to us so we can help you be who you've been called to be. Did you have something else to share?
Yes, I did. I want to encourage those women who are listening to us and may have an opportunity to view this at a later date. We're meeting in St. Louis with Viola Davis. Is that Viola on the line?
I believe it is.
Viola, are you there? Hello? She may be listening today. But anyway, Viola Davis is hosting an Empowerment Women's Conference in St. Louis at the end of August?
August the 20th.
August the 20th, and we're encouraging all of our Woman Act Now members from around the world and beyond to join us there, because we're going to have an opportunity to take some time. It's kind of our annual gathering, Woman Act Now meeting, and we are joining forces with one of our advisory board members in St. Louis, and we want to encourage you to come with us. So you can go to my Facebook page. You can connect, and I'm sure Viola, if she hears this, she can repost that flyer for them and the information so they can get to the right place to join us. So be blessed and have a great day, and we'll look forward to talking to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.